Yelton, we have a podcast.
Diving deep into all things Texas, both on and off the field. Here's Sean Pendergast.
Welcome
to Utopia.
Hey everybody, welcome in. It is a Green Bay Packer Houston Texan preview edition of the Utopia Football Podcast. Good to be with all of you. You're probably getting this on Friday morning, delivered to whatever mechanism it is you use to listen to podcasts. Whenever it is you're listening to it, I appreciate it. My name is Sean Pendergast. I'm one half of Payne and Pendergast Sports Radio 610, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. weekdays on Sports Radio 610 and three times a week on this here podcast. So we've got the Packers coming up on Sunday. That, of course, is a noon kickoff. You can hear that game on Sports Radio 610. You can hear the pregame show, Texans Countdown, starring me, Sean Pendergast, and Seth Payne. We're on the pregame show. And then following the game, what is hopefully a Texans victory on Sunday, it'll be myself and Clint Sterner on Texans postgame, leading you up to Sunday Night Football, the Jets and the Steelers coming up on Sunday. So that should be some good drama there. The Jets being on in primetime as many times as they've been on has actually been kind of fun, given the fact that they're 2-4 and they've had all sorts of drama swirling around them. This is easily the most intriguing 2-4 team that I can remember. But I digress. I'm not here to preview the Jets and the Steelers. I'm here to preview the Texans and the Green Bay Packers. As we lay the groundwork for the six-pack here in a moment, let me get some administrative items out of the way. A reminder to subscribe to the podcast. Hit that subscribe button. If you haven't done that yet, and you're sitting there right now looking at your phone, why are you not hitting the subscribe button? Just hit it. It's that easy. It doesn't even cost anything. It's free. It helps me. So, and that's really what you want to do. You want to help me, right? It's all about me. So, no, I'm joking. It's all about you guys too. But, and speaking of you guys, if you want to email the show, you can do it. HOUmailbag@gmail.com. Shoot me an email. Again, the rules of the email. These have evolved over time. Keep it tight. Keep it short. I'm getting more and more of them. I just need to get through them quickly so I can pick the best ones. So you guys are doing a great job of that. Thumbs up. If you're going to, if you're going to send in anything having to do with leading up to this game that's not going to get seen, the mailbag doesn't drop. The episode doesn't drop till Tuesday. So if you're thinking about sending something that doesn't evergreen very well, just wait till after the game on Sunday. That's all you got to do. Sunday and Monday, you can send them. I don't look at them really until Monday afternoon. So so send them in. Best time to send them in, Sunday after the game's over, while it's on your mind. HOUmailbag@gmail.com. Before we get into the six-pack, the pregame six-pack, just the particulars for this game. I mentioned the kickoff time is at noon. One good sign for the Texans and their relevancy. While this game is not a late window game or a primetime game, I think it should be if you look at the schedule this week. Probably the marquee game is Detroit, Minnesota. That deserves whatever coverage it is it's getting. But they're getting Jim Nance and Tony Romo on the call and Tracy Wolfson on the sidelines. That's the A team at CBS. It's not my favorite team. I like Ian Eagle. I'm an Ian Eagle guy. Over Jim Nance. No disrespect. I enjoy Ian Eagle's style and enthusiasm. But the fact of the matter is Jim Nance and Tony Romo get what CBS thinks is the best matchup each week. So there's that. The Texans, last I checked, they are a 3-point underdog. So it means these two teams are basically even on a neutral field. And I can get with that. That feels about right. In some ways, these teams are very much mirror images of each other, particularly at the quarterback position. Jordan Love's a little older than CJ Stroud, but they both got their first year of starting under their belt last year. Both kind of ended the season on a similar trajectory with blowout wins in the wild card round of the playoffs and losses in the divisional round of the playoffs. And a lot of people throwing a lot of flowers at them this offseason. Jordan Love, the difference is Jordan Love's now gotten paid. He's making $55 million a year. CJ Stroud will make all that and then some in a few years. They happen to share an agent, David Mulligetta. So there's that. The Texans are 1-4 lifetime against Green Bay. The one win, I was there in Green Bay in 2008. It was cold as balls there. It was horrible. It was fun as hell, but it was horribly cold. At that point, the fifth coldest game on record at Lambeau Field. Now that was 16 years ago. I went with John Granato. Wonder whatever happened to that guy. And Nick Rincuso from Nick's Place, who makes a delicious calzone particularly the Cablan Asian calzone. Give it a try. I believe it's still on the menu there. So that was fun, but it was really cold. That's the only time the Texans have ever won. It was Aaron Rodgers' first year as a starter. I remember Kevin Walter making a big play in that game. I remember Matt Turk, the punter, fumbling a snap and then picking it up, scooping it off the cold, hard, frozen tundra, and then scampering 25 of the slowest yards I've ever seen to get a first down in that game. That's all I remember. Other than a lot of pasty, cold people in the stands who could not have been nicer. They were really, really nice people up in Green Bay. Almost too nice. I'm going to feel bad when the Texans beat them, if they beat them, this Sunday. I won't feel bad at all, just to be clear. So those are the particulars of the game. The Texans looking to get their second win all time against the Packers. They only play once every 4 years, so they've only played five times in the history of both of these teams. The other time they played in Lambeau was in 2016. The Texans lost that game with Brock Osweiler as their quarterback. If I'm not mistaken, I believe that was the game where Brock uttered the infamous "every interception has a story" words. If I'm not mistaken, I think it was that game. I'll fact check myself after the podcast is over. So let's get going on this pregame six pack, shall we? Things to watch, keys to the game, maybe keys to a Texans victory. Who knows? It's five cans plus one prediction can. That's the six pack. So let's do it. Can number one, the return of Denico Autry. How about that? Denico Autry is back. Unfortunately, the Texans took a hit to the D-line depth this past week when defensive tackle Mario Edwards was dealt a four-game suspension for failing a drug test. His test failure was substances of abuse, not PEDs. Denico Autry was a PED suspension. Edwards had been one of the more pleasant surprises this season, so it's unfortunate to see him go down. You get Autry back in return from his six-game suspension. He will play right away. D'Amico Ryan said he's in good shape. He's ready to go. I think if we're measuring potential impact, Autry's addition, assuming he's healthy and not rusty and ready to go, should outweigh the loss of Edwards. As good as Edwards has played this year, D'Amico Autry is a high-impact player. 11.5 sacks last season for the Tennessee Titans. Has been called a junkyard dog, a badass, someone you would want in a dark alley, and a bad MF-er by GM Nick Caserio on my radio show. That was back in August or September, before the suspension came down. And I'm not going to say anything to D'Amico Autry about this suspension to his face if he's a bad MF-er and a junkyard dog. I'm just glad to have him back. He should juice up an already potent pass rush. Texans lead the league in pressure rate, for what it's worth, 43%. And I think we had a listener ask in the mailbag, how do you think they're going to use D'Amico Autry? I think he's going to get the snaps that, say, like Jerry Hughes had been getting, across from Derek Barnett, you know, with Derek Barnett and Hughes out there as replacement ends to give Will Anderson and Daniil Hunter a blow. And then I think on passing downs, I think you'll get Hunter and Anderson out there with D'Amico Autry bumped inside to defensive tackle. So I think that's how he'll get used. My guess is it equates out to a snap count of somewhere like around like half the time, like 25 or 30, something like that, for D'Amico Autry, which at age 33 is a perfect job for him. It is a perfect job. This is a major addition for the Texans. So we'll be keeping an eye on number 96, D'Amico Autry. That is number one. Can number two. Was last week on the ground for the Texans for real or fugazi? Let me pause for a second right here. I saw this on whatever the show is that has Craig Carton, Mark Schlereth, and Danny Parkins on it today. They do a segment called For Real or Fugazi. That was mine. They stole it from me. You guys remember, you'll back me up, right? Me and John McClain used to do For Real or Fugazi all the time, and they're doing For Real or Fugazi now. So, you know, this is like me saying, hey, man, my garage band, we were the ones that wrote Freebird, and then Leonard Skinner stole it from us. I don't think that garage band ever got the credit they deserve. I don't know if there was a garage band or not. I'm just saying, like, For Real or Fugazi is the Freebird of yelling at each other talk show features. Anyways, so was the Texans' ground game last week for real or fugazi? Based on sheer yardage, 192, and yards per carry, little under 7 yards per carry, it was a major success last week for the Texans. However, I will point this out, 113 of those yards came on the two big runs by Joe Mixon and Damian Pierce. And while it was glorious to see Pierce running like he did in his rookie season. That was awesome. Seeing him get into the end zone was amazing. The Texans did average under 3 yards per carry on the rest of their carries throughout the day, outside of those two big runs. So that is, in looking forward, I think that's relevant to point out. You know, I'm not trying to downplay the win over the Patriots in any way and their ability to at least get something going in the run game, because the previous 3 weeks, they got nothing going in the run game. Having Joe Mixon back is glorious. But if you need the run game to set up play action consistently, keep you in manageable down and distance, smother the Packers at the end of the game, run the ball in a 4-minute offense when you need to, I don't know that they're there. You know, they could have 192 yards again and it could look the way it does. And if they do, they should win the game. But if they don't get those two big runs, am I confident the Texans can put out a running game where they run it 30 times for 135 yards and the long run is 12 yards, something like that? You know what I mean? I don't know. I'm not confident in that. So let's see the next progression of the run game. Let's see it go from just, hey, we can pop a couple big plays to we can really impose our will. I don't know that they're, 1 week away from that. They got a lot of work to do. All right, can number three. Injuries on defense. And I understand I'm recording this before we get the Thursday injury report. Maybe we get some good news on there. I don't know how optimistic I am. Henry Toa in concussion protocol. Azeez Al-Shaair was in and out of that game against the Patriots with the knee injury. We'll see. Both guys are tough as nails. Now, Toa, it's not about muscling your way through a concussion. Like, he's going to be told whether or not he can play. Al-Shaair is going to try to play if he can stay upright, is my guess. Now, in the worst-case scenario, if they can't play, you're talking about a linebacking core that is now Neville Hewitt and, I'm guessing, Jake Hansen. I'm guessing they've got Jamal Hill active and on the ready. I mean, Jalen Petrie might be the best linebacker on this team if the first two guys aren't playing, Toa and Al-Shaair, and he's not even a linebacker. So there's that. The Texans will be missing half their starting secondary. That's been confirmed via reports. I saw one from Aaron Wilson. Kamari Lassiter and Jimmy Ward are both expected to miss this game. So you're missing a lot on the back end. And this is not the Bills and the Patriots receiving core. The Packers have a lot of potent skill guys in the passing game. They've got a deep crew. They've got capable tight ends. They've got Josh Jacobs, a battering ram at running back. So this is a bad game to be down potentially both starting linebackers and certainly half your secondary. So that's tough. The injury, at the very least, you're operating with a depleted secondary and banged up linebackers. So, man, how many sacks does Denico Autry have to offset all of those injuries? Like six? That's a lot, man. That is a lot. At two positions you are not deep at on this team. So injuries on defense, can number three. Can number four. This should be a game where Dalton Schultz gets a little bit of his groove back. One thing the Packers have not done well, defend opposing tight ends. They're one of the worst teams in the league at defending opposing tight ends. So we've been waiting for a breakout game from Dalton Schultz this year. You guys are so angry with Dalton Schultz right now. I think CJ did a really good job of trying to take up for Dalton Schultz and all that he brings to this team and to the offense in CJ's press conference yesterday. My sense was, after playing that audio on Payne and Pendergast, you guys are not buying it. You need Dalton Schultz to stop dropping passes. You need him to look a little more dialed in out there. You need numbers from him. A lot of you are fantasy owners too, and I understand that. I get that. But this should be a game where Dalton Schultz can really, I don't know that he has a 110-yard game like he did against Tampa Bay last year. CJ threw for 500 yards in that game almost. But just a game where Dalton Schultz is, I think, a couple things. A game where Dalton Schultz gets a couple big chunk plays, big chain movers, field position changers. I think that would be good to see. Like, I would take like five catches for 70 yards from Schultz. I think it would be an incredible game. That would be awesome. Maybe even a touchdown to add on to it. So I think there's that. I think the other thing too is I just want to see, obviously, get rid of the drops, but I also want to see him become a more automatic target for CJ. CJ only completed four of the passes of the eight targets he had to Schultz last week. You know, like Nico Collins, and he's not playing obviously, but I'm using him as an example. Nico Collins is a guy that when the ball goes in his direction off of the arm of CJ Stroud, good things happen almost all the time. I'm not saying Schultz needs to be that, but he can't be where good things are only happening a third of the time. So Dalton Schultz, can number four. Can number five, and this is a big one, protect the football. Packers do a lot of things well, but one thing they've done this season better than every other team in the sport of football, turn the other team over. The Packers have forced 17 turnovers. They've got a plus 8 turnover differential. Xavier McKinney, which was he was a big free agency signing for them, the safety that used to be with the Giants, has led the way. He's had an interception in every game this season except last week's win over Arizona. C.J. Stroud admitted in his press conference this week that he's been, quote, sloppy by his standards with protecting the football this season. 4 picks, lost a fumble. The Texans can get away with losing the turnover battle to bad teams, even to good teams. I think the Bills are a good team. The Texans lost the turnover battle, -2 to them. They were still able to win the football game. That will not be the case on Sunday. Green Bay just does too many things well. The game is in Green Bay. The Texans need to be even or ahead in the turnover battle to win this game. And winning the turnover battle, the potential for that, my confidence in that, went way up with what they did against New England last week. Look, Jordan Love is a bit of a gunslinger. He may throw one up there for you. So you got to be able to take advantage of it when he does. Final can is the prediction on the game. And my prediction for this game is Packers 31, Texans 27. I think it's going to be a high-scoring game. I think it's going to be a fun game. I think it's going to be one of those games that at the end, Jim Nantz and Tony Romo are talking about how, man, I think people wouldn't mind seeing a replay of this one in February in New Orleans. I'm one of those people. I would not mind seeing that one tiny little bit. 31-27 Packers is my final prediction on this game. Okay, quick reminder. Mailbag. HOUmailbag@gmail.com. Proud of myself. I kept this thing under 20 minutes. Perfect for you guys on a commute or maybe a workout on the elliptical. Workout more than 15 minutes, okay? You gotta do that. At least get in like 25 or 30. If you need more, I did a mailbag episode that dropped on Wednesday. So you got that too. HOUmailbag@gmail.com. Subscribe, rate, and review. Reminder, 9 a.m. Sunday, Texans Countdown on Sports Radio 610 and the Odyssey app. Download the Odyssey app. It's where you can get this podcast too if you want. It's where you can stream Sports Radio 610. Kickoff is at noon. Seth Payne and I have Texans Countdown at 9. Clint Sterner and I have the post-game show following the game. Hoping I'm wrong. Hoping I am very, very wrong in my prediction for this game. And I think the Texans, look, if they come out of this game 6-1, then it is on for all possibilities. You see, it's still on even if they lose. 5-2. I said 6-2 in the first 8 games. So 5-2 with a game you'll be favored in against the Colts at home. You're set up for 6-2. But man, you win this game and now all of a sudden you're 6-1. You got the Colts. I think you can beat the Jets on Thursday night. You got the Sunday night game against the Lions. The Cowboys look like shit right now after that. And then you've got Tennessee and Jacksonville back-to-back going into a bye week. You win this game, and there's a real chance for sure a 12-win season and maybe a 13-win season, assuming that health remains relatively steady, that you're not losing too many guys, and certainly you need to have your quarterback if you're going to do those things. So protect C.J. Stroud, people, please. All right, we're done. Big thanks to Anthony Irwin, my producer, for getting this podcast out to all of you. I will see all of you next on the podcast Monday morning. I'll record right after postgame on Sunday. You'll have the episode Monday morning, and we'll recap what we hope is a Texans win. So until then, enjoy the weekend, and we'll see you next time, everybody.